Hello and welcome to Nerds Assemble episode 130, and it's a bank holiday, so what are we doing, Paul? We're doing whatever we want, right, Paul? Whatever we want?
Right.
Right, right.
Drinking booze.
Yep.
That's one of them.
Actually, we don't have any booze.
Have you been eating chocolate then?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, we've been eating chocolate.
It's what Jesus would have wanted.
Exactly. And I actually had two Kinder Eggs, so I got a new Thor and Hawkeye.
Yeah. So, I'm...
Go Kinder Egg toys. Boom.
I think we better tell people who we are, then, in case they are noobs. Hi, I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, a.k.a. Cookie.
And I'm Paul, a.k.a. Retroid.
And, yeah, if you have any complaints about the freeform nature of this episode, you could just tweet us at Nerds Podcast. We may or may not care. It's a bank holiday. We're just here because when a bank holiday happens on a Monday, quite frankly, there's not much you can do in the evenings. It's like, it's just creating an extra Sunday.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
In some ways nice, in other ways, I can't go out properly shopping or walking or get stuff delivered.
Or just go drinking. A few hours. Paul had to work today, so you know, flipping pants bank holiday, because apparently people wanted to shop. They didn't really want to shop. There was actually sunshine down here in Cornwall, and so people went to the frickin' beach, even though it was still kind of cold. But there was sunshine, and it was Easter.
I would have gone bodyboarding today if I was near a beach.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you? Would you really?
Because, you know, I saw a report the other day that was suggesting there's an alarming amount of crap you can currently catch from bathing water off the Cornish coast, like more so than previous years.
Is that because of an alarming amount of crap?
I live in a city, I can catch crap as soon as I walk out the door, to be fair. So
yeah,
doesn't
but
really bother.
Stuff
bother
you can get from being in seawater, generally, maybe potentially a bit nastier than what you can
last
get.
Last time I went bodyboarding, I nearly drowned. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's really like a bad thing to catch, drowning. It's a very bad thing to catch.
How do you catch drowning?
Though. Well,
stick your head under water and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was more of an allergic reaction, because once I come out with death, that's it.
Okay. Has anyone been doing anything to really chill out this bank holiday? I mean, because basically, so we've had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and today. They, as Paul said, he's only had 3 days. I want to get home to work today.
Not really.
Maybe it's only really fun.
I've been doing a bit of gaming. I've upgraded my phone to Lollipop, thanks to Italy stock ROM. been walking the dog, just chilling. Yeah. It's been nice and relaxed.
I've been watching, I don't know how it started, but I've been watching the Parallel Universe episodes of Star Trek.
Cool.
It's been a bit Mirrorverse kind of day, has it?
Yeah. Let's see. I started off with, obviously, Mirror Mirror, which, you know, the original Star Trek. And I thought, why the hell not? So, because, I went and visited my mate Dave Internet. And, of course, because he's American, he's got Netflix US. So all the Star Treks are on there.
Cool.
All of them.
So I watched the Enterprise episode, which is a two-parter, where they did a Mirror Mirror universe that had, because it's Enterprise, they had time travel in it as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Which was kind of cool, because it was, you know, with Enterprise being set before the original series.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, there on the NX Enterprise and blah, 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 and this ship has been stolen from a parallel universe, which is a Constellation class. Starship from the, you know, sort of Kirk era. So it's them, it ends up with them on the bridge of this Not Enterprise in the original, you know, black and red and black and blue and, you know, black and sort of, you know, gold uniforms. So that was kind of cool. And then I'd completely forgotten that DS9 did so many crossover episodes.
They did, yeah. And they did some of the best ones, I thought.
Yeah. So I've not finished watching the DS9 ones yet, but I think I've just got one more to go for the crossover ones. So it's kind of cool with them being on demand. There's no having to leaf through, discs or such. It's just, right, what's the episode number? Okay. Season 3, episode 19. There you go. Click that. Watch it.
Okay.
Cool.
I spent today mostly having Supernatural season 3 on. Like, I finished season 2 over the weekend, and then I've sort of got through about halfway through season 3, which is the short season with the writer strike.
Oh, like, right. I didn't know there was a shorter one.
Yeah, it's season 3's, like, I think, is it 12 or 14 episodes? Something like that?
Yeah.
Because it got cut short by the writer strike. So, yeah. It's like, and you could tell by the way they put it together in a way that they knew something might happen, because stuff is a bit more condensed in terms of like the main arc. So yeah, that's a thing.
With me still being on the first season, there's not much of a main arc yet.
How far into the first season have you gotten?
We've just watched the episode where I can't remember her name, but the girl who's working for whatever the hell it is, that's after them.
Meg.
Yeah, where she's just popped up again, and they discovered her doing things.
Is this the one is it Chicago?
I think so. The one that it ends up in a warehouse. And there's a fight and they're tied up. See, I'm trying not to spoiler it for anyone else who hasn't seen it.
I'm trying to think. I know basically what happens in season 1, so yeah. It's just been general chill. Oh god, we ended up with Cards Against Humanity being played last night with us and
that's
two friends.
That's such a good bad game.
Yeah, they're
or a bad good game.
Should we tell our listeners about your card combo that I refuse to give points to?
Yeah, go for it.
So,
it's very refused to give points to it.
Because it was just too terrible.
You knew that it was mine.
Yeah, it was truly.
And because I was ahead of, whenever I'm actually winning on something, and it's like kind of a group thing, Emily always tries to take me out.
Sabotages you.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not entirely sure whether any other guys have noticed this with their girlfriends or whatnot. Instead of, rooting you on, yay, come on, you can do it, woo, you're kicking ass. Emily's like,
chop your head off.
You're a twat. I'm gonna fuck you up now.
To be fair, TV Channel 4 presents blah, story of blah, and it was the most dubious combination game. So Paul ends up creating Channel 4 presents
Takesy Backsies.
The story of coat hanger abortions.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Exactly. No, it's not happening.
Sounds like a reasonable combination to me.
Yeah,
there are so many combinations where you, especially when you're there with your cards and you think, well, there's no way I can use that. That just doesn't work. That's, a nonsense combination. Mm. And then someone puts down, a something blank. Oh, blank. And you're thinking, should I? Can I? Will these people still want to know me if I put these cards down?
I still wanted to know Paul afterwards, but I wasn't going to give points.
No, I had to do that because that was just a brilliant combination. And then after that, I decided to cater my answers to, people's sense of humours. And obviously, Emily's isn't as dark as mine.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that was an interesting point in last night's game.
How big was the deck? Was it one of the massive decks of Cards Against Humanity?
No, it's just the regular box of the UK edition.
Because when I was down in London last time, every time I've been down in London, we've usually ended up playing Cards Against Humanity. And last time I was there, Kat, you know, one of our friends, had what must be the, you know, the jumbo edition box.
Oh, gosh.
And she even had some custom written ones as well.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Like some of
expansions.
Yeah, expansions. So I was going to say download content then.
What? It's a card game.
Physical DLC.
Card games with DLC. Yeah.
But I'm not sure which was a more horrific experience. Playing Cards Against Humanity last night or on Saturday night where we played Mario Party 10 with a bunch of people. Oh, yeah,
That was unbalanced, that one was.
Yeah, like, we've not
played... Is it any good, though?
Well, we haven't played a Mario Party game before.
Yeah, I've never played a Mario Party game, which I think from...
I'm staggered.
Yeah, I know. I think from a lot of the negative reviews that have kind of come out, most of them are saying that, you know, it's not like conventional Mario Party. They've kind of messed with it quite a bit, and it's like, well, I've never experienced the original, so, you know, give it a go. It was fun. It was definitely fun, but Bowser becomes so overpowered towards the end of the...
And that's in the Bowser party-based...
As Bowser should be in a big kick-ass
It was pretty bad. I mean, I only took part in one playthrough because we had about three playthroughs of the Bowser scenario scenarios. And it was just... It just felt like a losing battle. Like, you think you're ahead and then you lose lives and he catches up to you on the board or something. And all the mini-games were just heavily biased towards Bowser as well. It was slow torture.
Well, like, who's the best at being Bowser?
Hannah.
Yeah, well, Hannah was kind of rolling really, really well, and considering she managed to completely kick the ass of like two or three players, that meant that she still had like you know, four dice to kind of roll with, and then I was the last person, you know, left, so I was kind of rolling, you know, kind of once, and then Bowser would roll with four dice, and it's like, this isn't fair. But yeah, I did last quite a while, and I did bring everybody back. You know, at one point by kind of getting more hearts, so, you know, I got everybody back, and it was like, yay, we're back in the game, and it's like almost getting to the end, and Bowser, you know, just completely trashed us all on that one last match.
Cool.
It was vicious, though. Vicious.
It was completely vicious. I mean, I played as Bowser first. And everybody hated me.
The thing is,
this was before Cards Against Humanity so
the thing is, though, is that you don't have to re-roll. Bowser can re-roll his dice if he doesn't like how his dice go.
That's cool.
Which is good and bad, because I mean, you can re-roll because you don't quite have enough to catch up with them in that, you know, match type thing. But if you re-roll, then no matter how low it is, you're stuck like that.
Yeah, but so, it seemed to almost always give people what they wanted.
Mm.
So everyone would constantly reroll and get what they wanted when they were playing Bowser, as far as I could tell. And it was just hell. Well,
when you've got four dice and, you know, the average would be, I don't know, say for example, you know, all threes or something like that, you know, you'd basically get roughly around 12 on average. So obviously, if you're like 11 or 10, then rerolling is, you know, the better option. So if you're over, you know, 12, and you're like, no, have to get more, then re-rolling can be a bit risky.
I didn't enjoy playing it. That's basically.
You don't enjoy playing a lot of games that I like playing, especially with, like, other people. You know, it's like when we get out, you know, stuff like Nintendo Land and, you know, Mario Bros, where we've got, you know, sort of like multiple people around, and, you know, we're playing four-player on something, and, yeah, you just shun it. You like to play alone. You're a solo player.
I like playing games like Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, where the only way to play, you know, is with another player in the same room, just one.
At the same time, though, it forces cooperation.
Actually, I played Left 4 Dead with three other people in the same room.
LANing it.
Basically, yeah.
But
cool.
You see, I don't like most of the sort of Mario based games because cooperation doesn't seem to pay off or be rewarded in a lot of them. Except
it is if you're actually wanting to seriously play. If, however, you know, you've got like a mix of skill ranges and, you know, everybody's just having a bit of a laugh, then yeah, you will. I mean, that's the same with Left 4 Dead as well, though. I mean, yeah, if everybody's but, just yeah, having a laugh, then you're not going to get very far.
Yeah, but at least Left 4 Dead quickly deals you a shitty hand and gets rid of you from the game.
Right, jeez.
Whereas with Mario games, with multiplayer, the torture is long and drawn out and horrific.
I will send you my bill for my services later after you've shared more emotions with us all.
I don't like multiplayer on Nintendo consoles very much at all.
Sorry, you don't like
multiplayer on much of the Nintendo consoles?
Well, you better get used to it, because that's the only way it's going to be multiplayer, isn't it? Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Lanning up.
Anyone else play or watch anything?
Yeah, I actually played White Knight.
What's that?
It's a horror survival game.
All right. On what?
It's Xbox One, PS4, and PC, I believe. Hmm. It's an indie game by Osum, published by Activision. And it's a horror survival game. It's set in the 1930s, got a very jazzy soundtrack. You are in the dark going along, and you seem to... A girl seems to run out in front of you, and you swerve and smash the car up on the bridge. And the only place to hide for the night, because it's pouring down rain, is in this old mansion. And that's when it starts getting a bit creepy. And what's really nice is the actual game is all done in black and white. The only colour is from the flick of your match. You have to rely on matches a lot of the time. It's very nervy, very creepy. And it's actually been quite good fun to play. And you know I don't really do horror that much.
Okay.
But it's really... The art style is really great. The ghosts can only be killed by electricity. And half the wiring in the house is pretty dodgy. So only certain lights will work. And it actually... sets up the tone quite nicely. I mean, little bits like... The detail is great. And... When you find a new box of matches, if one of your matches is running out, the next one might be a dud, which helps bring up some tension as well, especially if you've got one of these shadow ghosts chasing you and you're flicking to get a match struck and it keeps going out and you can't see where you're going.
Okay.
It has made me jump.
Moments like that.
Yeah. I have actually literally jumped out of my chair on several occasions with that. Really creepy.
The opening sounds a little familiar to how the first Silent Hill starts.
It is fairly similar to the original Silent Hill, where it's all about solving puzzles. That seems to be the only downside, because the puzzles are quite simple once you've put it together how to solve it. It's quite simple to put it together to solve it once you've got everything there in front of you, once you manage to find everything. And the only other annoying bit is the insta-kills by the ghosts, because you can't... When you actually finally see them, you generally, 9 times out of 10, haven't got a chance to run away from them. So you're pretty much instantly killed, which is a bit annoying after a while.
Okay.
I imagine it would be.
But it's still captivating me. It's actually a bit of... So that was cool. And I've been playing Destiny as well. Leveling up my character on Destiny.
Yay!
Me.
Destiny.
I've been seeing pictures of progress on the Facebook.
Yeah, I've managed to work out to manipulate all my screenshots to OneDrive, go into OneDrive, download a picture onto my phone, upload it to Instagram or Facebook or Twitter via that way, so it's actually there and not just a link. Thanks, Xbox.
It sounds so simple.
It is. It only took me half an hour to do.
Christ. But...
But yeah, no, that was. I've enjoyed Destiny though.
Okay.
So it's nice to did a strike for the first time with some randoms as well, which was quite good fun. Yeah, that's. I just don't understand why you can't get matchmaking on the missions, because that'd be even more fun. But no, you can't. So as soon as you go into the respawn areas, if you haven't got a party, they all just disappear, and you're on your own.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Which is a bit pants. Yeah, but, you know, we get around these things. So, which is cool.
So you'll never guess what I've been playing.
Is it Elite Dangerous?
Yeah, actually, now you mention it.
I'm really looking forward to that on the Xbox One.
Yeah, you said
I'm sure it will be great at half the frame rate.
Who cares about frame rates?
Huh. Me?
There's always bloody one.
Actually, one thing I can't quite work out, because one of the things I went back to this last week was because Sega had the sale on, I bought the rest of the DLC for Ilion. So I was playing the Nostromo mission, which is the one where everyone's dead and you have to escape to the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was enjoying that and had a few pant-wetting moments playing that and thinking, I'm going to have to play the rest, even though they aren't really story DLC. They're just like additional challenge maps, which I've said before about how annoyed I am at that. But it reminded me that for some reason the next-gen consoles, PS4 and Xbox, are both 30 frames per second on that, on the Alien Isolation, and yet it runs silky smooth on mine. It's never dropped from 60. It's bizarre, that confuses the hell out of me. Yeah. So, I'm saying about Elite run, probably being, 30 on the Xbox. It probably will be on PS4 as well, but it's just weird that seems to be the, the console target that they're going for, and I don't quite get it.
I have to admit, Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U, admittedly, yes, it's like not as anywhere near as visually heavy, but
it looks nice enough.
Oh, yeah, and it runs silky smooth as well.
Yeah.
That is definitely not like a 25 frames per second job. That's, like a 50 or 60 frames per second.
Mm.
And I think YouTube does actually support up to about 60 or 100 frames per second. And I watched a video recently and you can tell that it was, that higher frame rate. So it was that smooth.
Stupidly enough, it now means that I can watch or I can give links to Spectrum and Commodore 64 demos to people and they will look right.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Because some of the old machines, they all ran, if they did scrolling, they usually, if it was in hardware, they could do it, silky smooth. But a lot of them, to get extra colors, especially the Spectrum, because it had, such a limited palette on it, some of the demos that they've done, what they do is they, very quickly alternate different colors to try and sort of mix them together so that, they look like, they're slightly flashing, but you're still getting a colour that wouldn't normally be there.
Ah, okay. And that wouldn't be represented properly if you didn't have the proper frame rate.
Yeah. The problem before was, you'd give a link to one of these, and people would say, well, it doesn't look that amazing. And say, yeah, but actually it's only, recording every other frame. Now they're doing 60 frames.
Yeah.
You can actually record them properly, upload them, and they will look right.
Mm.
So it's like, hurrah, YouTube has caught up with 1983. And loads of games on the Mega Drive and the SNES also use that flash on and off alternate frame, especially on the Mega Drive, things like waterfalls on Sonic levels, where you go past the water and if you watch them on YouTube, they'd just be solid water.
Cool.
I say, which is, it's daft, but I've been playing that. I've also been playing one or two Japanese shoot 'em ups that I've got in various indie bundles.
Yeah,
and I've been reacquainting myself with those, and it's like they're a bit hard.
Are they shoot 'em ups or are they bullet hells?
They're bullet hells. Yeah. I call them bullet bakaki.
Oh, that's wrong.
Well, why do you call them that, Retroid?
No, we are not explaining to the few, very few listeners who don't know what that is. No.
I think it's a vivid description of the situation you find yourself in.
I would like to point out that I actually did play video games like other than Mario Party 10, like played some actual games for once this weekend on account.
Yeah, you've been hogging the TV.
Yeah.
Even when we've had people over, you've been hogging the TV.
I start.
You've had three of us in the room playing around with our phones because you've been hogging the TV. Yeah.
Nerd power.
Yep. I managed, because I was like wondering, why are there no PlayStation Plus freebies yet? Because there aren't yet.
Not yet, because bloody America. That's why.
Why are they holding us back?
America gets them on Tuesday, and because, of course, Wednesday was the first.
Yep.
April. We get them on the first Wednesday, but because America gets them, you know, on the Tuesday, it was still March.
Mm.
So that's why we're having to wait until next week.
Oh.
Because the bloody colonies.
Yeah. What freebies are you getting this month, though?
Is that part of the problem? Nobody knows.
We know.
Okay.
I can't remember, though. That's the... There was a rumour going around that it was Stealth Bastard Deluxe 2.
Mm.
But... it wasn't, because the developer came out and, you know, said, he's like, no, it's not. So please buy our game, because you're not going to be getting it in a week.
Okay,
so you are...
Yeah, I played Counter Spy, which was part of March's package of games.
And you played it on PS4, didn't you?
Yeah.
I played it on Vita, because it's one of the cross-buy titles.
I could play it on Vita, but I was playing on PS4. And
you haven't touched your Vita in a while.
Shush.
You've only ever played Minecraft on there.
I've played the TXK as well.
Alright, yeah.
But I haven't been I haven't been gaming in general for like about a month. Like, been hard, you know, not really playing anything. So I played Casper, and I'm now up to the final mission, but I've got at least one location on DEFCON 1. So I kind of in this weird Cold War take, need to reduce the DEFCON level of that area, so that when I go to the final mission, because the final mission will take you to whichever area out of the two that you go between has the highest DEFCON, the lower the number, the higher the DEFCON. So I need to work on reducing that. And I've been finding it quite interesting. I didn't think I was going to like it. And actually, it turned out I wasn't too bad at it, so I enjoyed it. Mostly because it's
pretty cool.
Mostly because it's a stealth game.
It's not a normal stealth game, though. I'll give it that.
But it works quite well, I think. I like the system whereby if you point a gun at a officer, it will reduce your DEFCON level. Like, they're utter wimps.
Yeah, they'll just surrender, is it?
Yeah. However, they will only do that if there's nobody else who can shoot at you in the room.
I'm not entirely sure.
I found that if there was somebody else there and you pointed a gun at them, they wouldn't surrender. At least that's what I was finding. So I had to, like, kill other people, like, within eyesight of them before they would surrender.
That's true. Most times, though, I've waited until I can shoot whoever it is.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, the officer just goes, and you go, Right, I've found out what the PlayStation Plus games are.
Yes, Killzone Mercenary.
Yeah, on the Vita, which that's my one Vita physical game, which I got from someone.
I think I've got that. I know I've got a Killzone game, because it came with my card pack.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Possibly you do then.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's my one physical actual Vita cartridge game that I've got plugged into my Vita.
What else are we getting?
Tower of Guns, which is a first-person shooter. That looks like it's PS4, I think. Yeah, and Never Alone. Those are both PS4. Also getting Aru's Awakening, which will be on the PS3. Dishonored.
Yes.
Which is quite good. And then we've got Kills and Mercenary and Monster Bag on the Vita.
Okay.
Which I would be much happier with that if I didn't already have Kills and Mercenary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't really complain.
I wouldn't mind replaying Dishonored on PS3. I've played it on 364. It's the kind of game which I wouldn't mind going back to because it's all stealthy.
Yeah. Am I right in thinking that with the PS4, you can only play online if you've got PlayStation Plus?
Yeah, yes. You can only do multiplayer if you've got PlayStation Plus.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
You've got PlayStation Plus, though.
Emily has.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Okay. Dig myself out of that one, Paul.
I also played a bit of Ollie Ollie 2. I haven't played the first one. But I
bought that, as in it's on my PlayStation Plus list, but because it's skate stuff, I've not bothered.
I managed to eventually get through some of the early tutorials and play some of it. It took a bit of doing to get used to. I kind of like it, but it is hard. Really hard.
What exactly is it like? Because I've yet to see anything that properly describes precisely what it is.
Well, you have to get from you have to get from the start of the level to the end of the level.
Mm.
There's, at least as of yet, there's not been any like countdown timers of that. It's just that you've got like trick your way there. Basically, well, ideally get some combos and stuff going on.
You can't stop or fall.
Yeah, you can't stop or fall. If you do something like a nosebleed, where you sort of like you're on the nose of the board tipping up in a grind. If you do that for too long, for instance, you will come off the board. It will at least do some slightly realistic physics in that you cannot grind on the nose of your board forever. You will come off, kind of thing. And it's weird, though, for the combo system. It's, I would say, in some ways more complex than, say, trying to do combos in the traditional Tony Hawk's games, because it involves a lot of stick flicking and making sure that the board is in a particular state before you start flicking things around. And you have to make an effort to land the board when you land on non-grindable surfaces. So you have to, like, press certain buttons before the board touches the ground, or else you'll get like a sloppy landing. And in some instances, you will come off the board and thus end up back at the beginning. It's kind of hard to explain, but basically you have to get from point A to point B, preferably combo up some scores doing tricks. But that's like in the main story mode, basically in the career mode. And you can keep progressing through it as long as you get from point A to B. But if you fail to do that, then you won't get the next level. But there's like, if you manage to meet all the requirements, there's like a star system. If you meet each requirement on each level, then you will get like a super hard mode available to you.
Is it anything like Trials HD and the like?
I would say it's a bit easier than Trials.
Yeah, because Trials is a game that I thought I would like, and I ended up just did not get on with Trials at all.
Yeah, I'd say it's easier than Trials. It's easy because I tried Trials once and gave up, but Ollie 2, I've been fine with. But then I haven't neglected AAA in all of this time. I restarted Far Cry 4.
Cool.
And I've kind of got into the swing of it a bit more. I accidentally bought myself a bow. During my first playthrough, well too early, like before I had another holster. So I didn't do that this time.
Did you have to play Twing Twang?
Mm.
It's a reference to the very first Zero Punctuation where he reviewed the demo of Heavenly Sword.
You see, I don't like Zero Punctuation, so I've
made... the first one was pretty much, spot on. Where he just, it was the press X to not die sort of, ridiculousness of QuickTime. And there was just the cutscene where one character talks to another, which is her younger sister. And you'll have to play Twing Twang because, she uses a bow.
Okay.
So it's Twing Twang.
I just like bows because they're an efficient form of stealth weapon,
Yeah.
Yeah, like... Far Cry 4, you could either play it as somebody who likes to shoot lots of guns and get spotted all the time, or you can be somebody who likes to sneak around and not get ambushed by animals or people.
But if you had like a novelty bow that kind of had a massive horn on every time you shot an arrow, then you'd hate that.
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad I've kept the receipt then.
What? What? And yeah, there was.
Ow! Ow! What are you doing?
Attacking you. Seems simple.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. because it's still kind of weird hunting hunting animals to get materials to make things so that you can do more things. And it's even more sinister when you have radio messages being put out in some areas by the bad guys lot, talking about how you shouldn't be, you know, poaching, and that poachers, you should report poachers and blah blah this. And I'm like, am I damaging the environment by making sure that I can hold more than one weapon at a time and like a decent number of medical packs? And oh god. So yeah, that's Far Cry 4 so far, where I've been like, I feel like I'm really good at stealthing. And oh, and I found like a weird little helicopter thing that you can go in.
Oh, those, yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, that was cool going up in one of those. But yeah, it's sort of like, I still can't shake the feeling that the bad guy in the exquisite suit.
Yeah.
I can't help shaking the feeling that he is, you know, I can't completely hate him. Like, not completely. Which no. Hasn't happened with a bad guy in a game in quite a while.
It's nice when that happens, when it's not just someone is, you know, a cartoon, where they're a little bit more, yeah, I can kind of get this person. It usually happens when they don't have stupid, pointy shoulder pads and that kind of thing.
Yes, that yep. Does.
Although, if I remember him right from the little videos I've seen, he does have shoulder pads, just not spiky ones.
No, it's just, you know, it's just wearing like a general suit jacket, and you can't buy suit jackets without a degree of shoulder pads in them anyway.
Oh, well then. So. See, there's a hole in the market right there. Villainous shoulder pads.
Talking of villainy, Retroid, what is this crazy hot mess with the Hugos?
Oh, yeah, it's great. Right, where do I start? Let's see, it's a little bit all over the place, so hang on, let me find my notes. Right, last year, well, you know, historically, things like the Hugos haven't been brilliant at representing, you know, those weird little minorities, you know, like anyone who's not white or female.
Yeah.
So.
Anyone who's not female?
Oh, anyone who is.
Ah, right, okay.
What? I'm drinking cider.
Fair enough.
but basically, there was a little bit of a push last year, and yeah. They managed to get far more female nominees and people of colour, which was a nice, refreshing change. And people's general reaction to that was, oh, isn't that nice? They seem to actually be catching up with the fact that it's a little bit more varied. And, you know, catching up with the rest of society. Isn't that nice? Apparently, at least two people decided, no, that wasn't nice. And decided that actually pushing for people of colour and women to be represented for, you know, writing awards and science fiction and, you know, fantasy, they should push against that, because that's putting politics into the Hugo Awards.
What?
Yeah. So they've decided to push the nominations of some racists and bigots and general homophobes and assholes.
Blimey.
And you'll never guess. It was not instigated by, but you can guess which particular ethical campaign decided to join in with this.
Oh no, really?
Mm-hmm. So oh, it wasn't a, yeah, it wasn't a Gamergate thing, so far as I can tell, but lots of them did jump on. Because they're of the everything should be voted for and get exposure purely because of how good it is or not, which is a nice idea, but that's presuming the world works like that.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I'm not sure whether, you know, like women and minorities are necessarily producing more work, but you know, with you know, leveling up of the playing field, as it were, that the internet has, you know, done.
Yeah,
I think, you know, it is time to, you know, talk about whether historically, whether there has been a massive bias.
Previously, people running magazines and stuff that have the big ones that review science fiction and fantasy novels have kind of said that publishers have tended to send them automatically works by male authors, even though there are female authors on their lists.
Yeah.
So yeah, there has been perhaps a bias anyway. Even if it wasn't consciously done, it was just assumed.
There's a whole range of reasons why things like that can happen. It can be just who they know, and if the social circles, you know, not really in the way of nepotism or doing favors for friends, but if you're not aware of someone because they're outside of your circle, if you've not encountered them, you can't do anything for them.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's also the bullshit reasoning, which I've heard a few times, for, you know, female game leads, whereas, oh, female game leads sell fewer games, so we don't advertise them as much or spend as much in development.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why they don't sell as well, if people don't know about them and you don't polish them to the same degree.
It's not just that, but I mean, do they do that with guys as well? It's like, oh, your work hasn't done very well, so therefore we won't actually publish you very much.
Well, no, because obviously people like... male directors who keep making shit films still have work in Hollywood.
Even though the shit films don't sell very well, they still keep on getting work, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few people, a few directors, a few actors I can think of.
Yeah.
Where they just keep getting work.
Yeah.
And it's not based on their ability and performance. You know, I can understand if one's ability, but that, you know, they don't perform at the box office, or they perform well at the box office, but they're not very good at the job. But it seems to be they're not very good in either, and they still get the work.
Meanwhile, if you're a female actress and you do a film that kind of flops in that, and even though it may not be you, you might have given your best performance in that film that you possibly could, even though you were working with crap material, you'll probably find your careers kind of hard to get back for a couple of years, unless you had something decent in the works coming out around the same time as the shit thing, which case you'll be okay. But if you didn't, then it can take a while to get work again.
Yeah.
Done it.
But, you know, with this whole Hugo Awards thing, basically all nominations are by public vote.
Yep.
And then, of course, the judges get to it. So it's not really a matter of, you know, a public vote, you know, completely wrecking it. But they do seem to have tried flooding a lot of the nominations with, you know, multiple people that they prefer. In the name of, well, it's okay if the social justice warriors do it, so we'll do it and that'll equal it out. And say, no, you're being arseholes again. You're confusing something with, you know, trying to balance it out with being total shits.
Yeah.
I know it's difficult because Gamergate seem to quite enjoy being total shits. And, you know, they've got the attitude that everything is absolutely fine as it is. What? So why bother? If everyone, you know, if anyone tries to actually improve anything, it's because they're picking on men's.
Well, I mean, it's a bit like what's known as kind of, what is it, positive discrimination or something like that? Where it's like, oh, if, you know, two equally qualified people, you know, go for the same job and one happens to be black and one happens to be white, they should automatically pick the black. It's like, in reality, that doesn't actually work because you never have two identical, you know, candidates for the same, going for the same position, that the only difference between them is that one's black and one's white.
It would be nice if that happened, wouldn't it? If people were only ever hired or voted for or whatever, just on the quality of their candidacy. But history, and you just have to look at the news, especially with, you know, Ferguson and anything like that. Mm. Was it Ellen Powell with the recent sexism in the, you know, tech industry? But all, you know, you just have to look at those and see that the world is not equal. And it's not as bad as it used to be, but we've still got a fair way to go, and we've still got a lot of people who are making stupid decisions based on knee-jerk reactions.
Mm.
Even if it's, you know, the whole, oh, you know, female authors don't sell, so therefore, we, you know, we won't bother. Or, you know, this person is a known quantity. Well, the only reason that these, you know, particular people are known quantities is because they've had the opportunity in the first place.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the entire point of things like the Hugos. Now, talking about this.
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to find the particular section because I've got a bit of... Now, one of the entrants, you know, for a particular nomination had their work published by, and I'm not joking with this. This gives you an idea of you know, where they're coming from here. Patriarchy Press.
Nice, classy name.
Yeah, Patriarchy Press. Because, I mean, after all, you know, the poor men, you know, us poor men never get a break. Everything's against us, which is why all the world leaders are women. And all those business leaders are women.
Oh, that does remind me of that image after Charlie Hebdo in the Jewish, kind of version of the photograph where all of the female world leaders got photoshopped out.
Yeah. Although you say all, wasn't it? Just Angela Merkel, because she was the only one who was on the front row or something.
I thought it was meant to be all of them. But
was there anyone in the back?
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I can't remember with that, but definitely I remember she got removed because they have rules against showing women or something.
Some of the Orthodox press in Israel.
Yeah, the particularly strict Jewish Orthodox
press. But surely changing something like that is tantamount to propaganda because you're distorting historical fact.
Yeah.
But we're getting into a whole different mix with that because...
whole different ballgame.
Yeah, all kinds of... things which
I mean one of the things that, you know, kind of people forget is that there are, you know, women and minorities in history that have gone on and done, you know, good things, and they don't get any credit for what they got. I mean, what was it, that one Hollywood actress that like somehow like invented part of the technology that was to do with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth?
Yeah,
don't hear about her.
No.
Very occasionally, and I've had occasional dodgy comments if I've dared to actually, you know, post it, because, you know, there was the International Women's Day.
Yeah.
Recently. Yeah. And I posted up a few pictures from, you know, I fucking love science.
Yeah.
Where it was, you know, women in science that you don't usually hear about because, you know, as you say, they're either ignored. Mm. Or actually skipped over.
Yeah.
In favour of men. Like, this is a good example, actually. Because I can't remember the name of the woman who helped discover DNA.
Mm.
But it was her, Francis Crick, and the other bloke. See, I'm balancing it out. I can't remember her name, but I can't remember the other scientist either. But... that's a good example because, you know, she did a lot of the work, but it was just automatically ignored.
Yeah.
Her contribution. Now, saying here about, you know, the Hugo Awards, one of the particular authors who got, you know, he's been pushed.
Hmm.
I'm trying to find a particular section here. Hey, if you've got anything to say to cover me, go ahead.
Treble, quadruple,
Right, hang on.
Great distraction, Emily.
That was good. Thank you very much. That was wonderful. an author called John C. Wright. Now, you might have heard about the legend of Cora.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, did you hear about the ending?
No.
It's just two of the characters, both women.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Right at the end, they hold their hand and look at each other and sort of walk off. And there was a question of, you know, what exactly did that mean? And the you know, the creators of the series said it does mean that, you know, those two are in a relationship and it's canon. That's what we were going for here.
Right, cool.
And this is a letter from one of the authors who's been nominated by this Sad Puppies campaign. It's John C. Wright. And he said, dear Mr. DiMartino and, you know, I admire your creative effort tremendously. I watched your shows, bought your merchandise and support and lauded you. I made your work a part of my imagination and part of my life, introduced your show to my children, and this is how you repay loyalty and affection. A children's show, of all places, is where you decided to place an ad for a sexual aberration. You pervert your storytelling skills for the cause of propaganda and political correctness.
What?
You sold your integrity out to the liberal establishment. In a craven fashion, you deflect criticism by slandering and condemning any who object to your treason. You were not content to leave your matter ambiguous, no, but had to publicly announce that you hate your audience, our way of life, our values, virtues, and religion. From all fans everywhere worldwide, let me say what we are all feeling. Mr. DiMartino and Mr. Konitsko, you are disgusting, limp, soulless sacks of filth. You have earned the contempt and hatred of all decent human beings forever, and we will do all we can to smash the filthy, phallic idol of sodomy you bow and serve to and worship. Contempt because you struck from behind, cravenly, and hatred because you serve a cloud of morally retarded mental smog called political correctness, which is another word for hating everything good and bright and decent and sane in life. I have no hatred in my heart for any man's politics, really, any man's politics, policies or faith, any more than I have hatred for termites. But once you start undermining my house and where I live, it is time to exterminate them. Sincerely, a lifelong fan.
Do you know what? I think the lesbian characters would have an issue with him saying that they were symbols of phallic bullshit. Because
yeah, I was thinking just how insane. I mean, I'd love find someone who's a Freudian, who studied Freud's work.
Well,
read that, because it talks about.
The thing is, he doth protest too much. Whenever this kind of thing comes up, and I'm like, I always, there's like a certain level of homophobia, and then there's another level of homophobia. And once you get to the other level of homophobia, which in and of itself has several levels.
Yeah.
But once you get to that other level, that higher level, it's like, you doth protest too much. You really do. You're not disgusted necessarily at what you're seeing. It's evoking feelings you're uncomfortable with inside yourself.
It always reminds me of, has anyone seen American Beauty?
Yeah.
Yep.
The neighbor character?
Mm. Mm.
The Nazi?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. It's just the way he talks about all that. And then, where's the section? The filthy phallic symbol of sodomy you bow to. They're lesbians.
Yeah. Lesbians would have no stick with that.
That entire spiel, there's just so many things wrong with that.
It's just, oh, you're an arsehole.
Yeah, so that's really rebalancing stuff with the Hugos there, that, you know, nominating people like that. Mm. I mean, I suppose if Olsen, I mean, had Olsen Scott Card anything out, you know, this past year, I suppose people would have nominated him with this specific purpose in mind.
Yeah, it's just, they're not being apolitical, and I have seen several Gamergators with the, it's okay if you do it. It's like, you don't get the idea, do you? It's not, they're specifically pushing certain people with a political agenda. They're just pushing groups to get noticed.
Yeah.
And I'll just finish this off with, I've got two posts here from, you know, Gamergate people.
Oh dear.
Which sums it up. Now, you've got someone here saying, the pushback against odious social justice in sci-fi and fantasy is clearly underway if the Hugo Awards nominations are anything to go by. Smiley face. Now, just with that odious social justice, do you actually sit down and consider what those words mean? Or, you know, because how can you not want social justice? That's what I don't get about the whole argument with social justice warriors.
It's because they're people that don't like equality.
I think it's like a flavour of insanity.
But I mean, the whole social justice warriors, the thing about it is, though, is that obviously it's kind of taken, well, I think it's taken from the kind of concept of a keyboard warrior, which is somebody that's like, you know, just angry about something and just tap something online, you know, kind of lengthy, blocky kind of paragraphs and whatnot. So they're kind of taking on that and doing it in obviously a kind of, well, not ironic style, but in a kind of, you know, trying to kind of belittle them style. And it still doesn't work.
I know, because the only way they can actually seem to approach a problem is by strawmanning it to hell at the very start and then gunning against that strawman. Because it's the whole thing of, oh, social justice warriors are starting to want to change games, so they're coming in and they don't play games. Well, fuck off. I've been playing since, you know, the very first time I could pick up a joystick or bash a keyboard.
It's part of the problem when you have people that try to control a culture.
Yeah.
You know, controlling the political landscape of it and the cultural landscape and the economic landscape of it. And they don't want anybody else in. They don't want outsiders to actually come in. They don't even like people that like that stuff already and have a different opinion.
Yeah.
Daft, isn't it?
And I'll just finish it off with a quote from good old Milo.
Uh-oh.
Where he says, incredible sad puppies, # Hugo Awards, # happenings. Right up from at Libertarian Blue, coming soon to Breitbart London. Link. And it's just, well, that sums up everything, doesn't it? Yeah. Because there you have Milo, who's shit in human form.
Yeah.
And then you have someone who calls themselves Libertarian Blue, and pretty much anyone who calls themselves a libertarian is shit in human form. And Breitbart is shit in website form.
Yeah.
I mean, it was set, Breitbart, for anyone who doesn't know, was set up to push Tea Party in the US, and Breitbart London was set up over here to push UKIP.
Tells you everything you need to know.
So there we go. That's their political spectrum. That's their angle.
I wanna come in with some good news. I don't know.
Please do.
Cookie heard this.
while I just sit here. Sorry.
Yeah, I say good news. It's weird. Come good news. This July there's going to be a crossover event in comics between Green Lantern Corps and Star Trek. Six-part miniseries.
I think my response on Twitter was all the nopes.
I just...
My response was not to even tweet the story.
I don't understand how it's going to happen at all. Because it's like... So the Green Lantern Corps will be allied with the 23rd Century Federation, Starfleet and Enterprise.
No, they'll be allied with a Borg.
And who some of the Star Trek bad guys get Green Lantern rings. And it's like, well... Right, okay... That doesn't
That doesn't really compute because
obviously
you know,
they're using the characters from the new Star Trek movies.
Yeah,
those interpretations. But then it's like, but how is the crossover of worlds possible? Like,
They never have an adequate explanation.
No. IDW's explanation for how the Lone Gunman and X-Files was able to work with Transformers, Ghostbusters, The Crow, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles last year, or the year before that made perfect sense. Because it was basically like, these are all technically forms of urban legend cross-conspiracy theory that have existed at some point in the world. Yeah. Like aliens, on technically the Transformers are aliens and the Crow's a spirit being thing. And all technically all of them are variations of stuff that the X-Files in of itself had dealt with over the years.
So it kind of made sense.
And the Ghostbusters, it was like, oh, they must be, you know, like a hoax. You know, they're just, you know, stealing money from people to do. And it's like, oh no, it's a real deal with the paranormal. Oh, okay. And the crow.
They should show up with a cheap electronic light show.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, it all kind of made sense. But with this, it's just kind of like, I don't understand. I mean, it's like trying to understand how Doctor Who and Star Trek.
Don't try and understand it. It didn't happen.
Obviously, IDW have done both. That means that, technically speaking, that Doctor Who crossed with Star Trek, and Star Trek crossed with, or is going to cross with, you know, this. Yep. Which means that theoretically, Doctor Who could actually appear in the DC universe.
I'm very confused right now, and I think everyone should be.
No,
worried. Not
I'm already home, but I'm just going to go home now.
It's bizarre. That's what it is.
Anyone else got any news?
I would just like to say I really found it quite amusing how Rockstar have dealt with a certain aspect on GTA Online.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
What's that?
That was quite amusing. Well, there's apparently a little... there's a car called the Duke of Death, which is unique and super powerful, and it's only available in the single-player mode. However, people have been able to, via an exploit, import it like a Nissan Skyline into their playlist for Grand Theft Auto Online. So rather than just blacklisting the car and keeping out of your GTA Online garage, I've got to take my hat off to Rockstar Games. This is amazing. I would actually want to import the car just to see this work. Well, if you import the car into your GTA Online garage and you get it delivered, you open the door, as the video shows of one poor unlucky soul, you get in the car, you turn the ignition, and the whole car blows up with you in it.
Brilliant.
I'm sorry, but that's just amusing. I'd actually do the exploit.
Well, it is technically its name is the Duke of Death. I mean, I don't understand why I didn't do that already. You know.
True. Oh, the video I saw, though, was quite amusing, because the poor guy, he gets in the car and it blows up. He's like, I've blown up. What's happening here? So he gets out and he obviously thinks somebody's booby-trapped it. So he actually imports it again, gets all the guns out, the torches, checks underneath for bombs and everything, gets back in. Boom.
Oh, well.
I do like it when, you know, kind of games companies have ways of kind of...
Have a little jokes with it.
Yeah.
What it is you get that for if you got and played GTA 5 on previous generation consoles. And then if you buy it again, you get that as like an added bonus on a PS4 and, you know, Xbox.
Mm.
And yeah, I thought that was quite a nice thing and indicative of their humour that it doesn't, you know, patch it out. It just makes it blow up. Because it's like, you're not supposed to have that, so we'll punish you for it in our particular way.
I quite like that, to be fair. Which was cool. The only other thing I saw that I thought Emily would like or would be interested in is there is now a Chrome extension that's been created to add Animal Crossing music to every website for you.
I don't know. I mean, because I'll start thinking that I need to go shaking trees for fruit and hunting bugs. And basically, I won't actually be able to sit at my computer because I will suddenly start wondering if I need to be doing these things in order to pay off a mortgage that I don't have.
I was thinking you'd be stressing out, thinking, oh, bloody Tom Nook, I owe him now.
Yeah,
God, exactly. I've just got an extension on that house, I've got to pay for that. Oh, and someone needs their sunglasses brought back.
Yeah, exactly. Or their boat, or their t-shirt or something, you know. And also then I'll be listening out for the sound of like something floating in the sky above me, and I don't have, you know, a slingshot. So I'll just be stressing out, majorly.
I've just seen that Masioka is returning as Hero Nakamura in Heroes.
Yes, in Heroes.
Yay.
Yay.
That's some good TV news. The bad TV news is what's happening with Twin Peaks, or not, may be the case.
Well, it's from what I can gather, happening. Yeah, it's going ahead, but it won't have
David Lynch attached yeah. to it.
And
he just left the building.
What about Thingy
that's
Frost?
That's a damn fine cup of bollocks.
Dude, and the other dude that helped create with him, is he still in?
I believe so.
Mm. Well, as long as it's still, well, I say as long as it still has Kyle MacLachlan. Hopefully Kyle MacLachlan's going to be still in there. Well, that's if he's, you know, not in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's generally they kind of troubling news, if you consider that it's Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately so.
But
I just can't see how it would work without Lynch.
Yeah. Well sorry. Done. Cool. That's what you think of that.
And that's why we don't have David Lynch. I'm sorry.
I'm sick of repeats.
Oh, have you heard about the Smash Bros. Fighter ballot?
I don't care.
No.
And yeah, you can vote for, you know, anybody in gaming, not just, you know, Nintendo properties, and a load of indie devs have actually been like, hey, get Super Meat Boy in there, it'll be great, or get Shovel Knight in there, it'll be great. And kind of have to agree, actually.
Super Meat cool. Boy would have to leave blood everywhere.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's never happening. And
also, I'd like to nominate a character.
Okay.
Can I have the Metroid Prime 4 suit in there, please?
That'd be cool.
If you see what I did there.
if they did announce a Metroid Prime 4 at this year's E3, how tempted to get a Wii U would you be?
I would be take my rupees.jpg.
Wow.
I've wanted... Metroid Prime is one of my favourite series. That's why I'm called Super Retroid.
Yeah, I kind of got that. Yeah,
on Twitter. So it's kind of, why are you pissing on my chips, Nintendo?
To be fair,
you've got some. You've got. I know I've said this before multiple times, but you've got a franchise where you have different visors where you see different things, and you've released a machine that has a motion sensing pad that has its own screen. For Christ's sake!
I mean, they've launched was it a Metroid Prime Trilogy as a Wii download for it?
Yeah, but I already own that on disc.
Ah, fair enough.
Bearing in mind, I also own the American version of Metroid Prime on the GameCube. I also own the British version of Metroid Prime on the GameCube. I own the British version of Metroid Prime 2 on the GameCube, and I own the separate release on Metroid Prime 3 on the Wii, well as Metroid Prime Trilogy on the Wii. So I am throwing money at Nintendo, and Nintendo are saying, sorry, we're not interested in your money at the moment, Mr. Wood.
And also, they've got quite a few of the games, as in like the NES game and GameCube, not GameCube, the SNES game, and you know stuff like that on the virtual console.
Does he have the Game Boy?
Metroid Prime 2. Oh, Metroid Prime 2. I believe so.
Well, I know they've got a few. It's just Metroid 2 because it was one of those where the creator of Metroid had a hand in creating the Game Boy.
Hmm.
And he did the sequel to Metroid from the NES on the Game Boy. And then, of course, the Super Metroid on the Super Nintendo is Metroid Prime 3, which is, you know, why it says that at the start. So they are in proper sequential order there. So if they don't have the GameCube version, fight.
Okay.
Not GameCube, Game Boy.
I'm pretty sure it does.
We wouldn't know unless we started booting things up and making the internet go crazy. So.
But I bought some Nintendo hardware this week.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
I'm staying on the cusp of technology, and I bought myself a DSi XL off eBay.
Okay. Nice.
For 30 quid.
I've got to admit, I want to get a new 3DS, and I do want to get, Xenoblade Chronicles?
The 3D
re-release of it.
I noticed when I was playing about with a game I picked up a DS game, which is part of the reason why I started looking for a DSi XL again. I picked up Populous on the DS, which it seems all right, but I've only done the unskippable tutorial. And I played this 20 odd years ago on the Amiga. I think I know how to play it. Thanks. Can I just skip the tutorial? But I was playing it on our 3DS XL. and I noticed that Xenoblade Chronicles was in the store.
Mm.
And I thought, I hope that's going to come up with a warning saying that it doesn't work. You know, on my particular 3DS, because it, well, my wife's 3DS, which is part of the reason why I'm getting a DSi XL, because then I can actually play around with, you know, my own stuff. Because they still haven't changed that, have they? It does only work on the new 3DS.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. It's,
Which game was that that only works, sorry, on the new 3DS?
Xenoblade Chronicles.
Mm. Chronicles.
3DS.
Yeah. Because I would prefer it if it was filtered out on, you know, the original 3DS.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it just seems a bit... you know, I'm really hoping you can't buy it on the original 3DS. And then it says, oh, sorry, it doesn't work. Because that would really annoy people.
Absolutely.
I want to say, unless anyone's got some amazing news, that that is really all we've got time for this week. Cause...
Nope. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that is all we've got time for this week, dear listeners. We hope you've had... I mean, you're listening to this after the bank holiday, but we hope you've had a nice Easter.
Yes.
Maybe there's been some chocolate or something. Or, you know, generally chocolate, I think, is the main thing to wish for.
Happy Chocolatemas.
Yeah.
Chocolate ovum?
Mm.
That, no, that just sounds so
good. It's in the shape of an egg.
Yeah,
it still sounds wrong, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
So it is good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter. Bring out Metroid Prime 4, please.
It's good night from me, Paul, a.k.a. OneArmed_Cookie on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as at Paul Blewett.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter as EK6891. You can find Nerdassemble over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. If you want to listen to us through some other means, you can try us on iTunes or Stitcher. You can find us on Twitter at Nerds Podcast or on Facebook and Google Plus as Nerds Assemble Podcast. Don't forget to check out hexdimension.com and have a nice week. Good night.
Good night.
Night.
Good night. Metro Prime 4.